You should have gotten a handout when you came in on seven steps to kill your giants. If you didn't, hold your hand up, and one of the ushers will bring you a handout. But if you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. My subject tonight, seven steps to kill your giant. Whether we like it or not, life is full of gigantic problems. There are all kinds of giants that people face every day in the course of this life. There are principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and the very devil himself. There is the giant of sickness, giants of financial problems, giants of depression. We've seen so many people delivered from that giant. There are giants of addiction. We've seen God just set the captive free over and over. Giants of lust. And there are giants of wrong relationships. Have you noticed how some people, they have a relationship that ends and they get into a relationship with another person, and it's a person of the same personality with the same problems, and they go right back into that same old step again, trying to live a life of victory when they're associated with wrong people. You just cannot do that. Show me your friends. I promise you something. I'll show you your future. There are all kinds of giants, but I want to take the story of David, and I want us to look at the steps he took to kill his giants. And just like David, we can kill our giants if we take the right steps. Now, I want you to remember the story. The army of Israel, they were on one side of the mountain. The Philistines were on the other side of the mountain, and there was a great valley between them. And Goliath, the Philistine giant, the champion, he would come out and he would strut back and forth every day, mocking that army. That's what giants do, you know. They strut back and forth trying to intimidate you, trying to convince you that you will never be able to get free, that you will never be able to be all that God has purposed for your life. But I want us to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17 and 18 and following, and look at Goliath. Goliath stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set you in battle array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye the servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. Look at verse 10. And the Philistine said, here's where he made his mistake right here. Here's where he touched the honor of God in verse 10. And that's just like some political parties that we know. When you touch God's honor, God will stand up and start fighting the battle. Amen. Look at this. Verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. My subject, seven steps to kill your giant. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the anointed singing. Thank you, Lord, for the steps that we can take into victory. Lord, that we don't just start at the top. Lord, you speak to us line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. And what you're doing is teaching us and guiding us from where we are to where you want to take us to. So we praise you for great victories. Speak through these lips of clay. Let my tongue be like that of the writer's pen. Thank you for that anointing that destroys the yoke. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, David goes down to the battlefield. He goes there to visit his brothers, and he could not believe what he was hearing. And he asked them, said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the true and the living God? They've got dead gods. We've got the true God. David said, I'll go out and I'll fight that giant. He said, is that not a cause? Is that not a cause, church, that we should take this gospel to the world around us? Is that not a cause that once we've received the great victories that we should not lead others into their victories? That is a cause. Hallelujah. And David, I love David because he goes out and he says, they got dead gods and we got the true and the living God. And David said, I'll go out and I'll fight that giant. And David went out and he won a great victory. Well, how did he do it? Well, let's look at his life and let's look at the seven steps that David took. Because if he took steps and won his victory, I promise you, you can take the same steps and win your victory. David killed his giant, and you can kill your giants by taking seven vital steps. Step number one, David was faithful in all his labor. Let me say that again. It's on your hand out. David was faithful in all his labor. Some people, they're up and down, they're in and out. There's no consistency in their life. If you can ever get your life disciplined to where you are consistent in what you do, consistent in your prayer life, consistent in your Bible reading, consistent in your church attendance, consistent in your giving and your tithing, consistent, hallelujah. And people, they look at you and say, hey, there's a disciplined person there. There's something different about that person. Some people, they never get disciplined. They do it for a while and they quit. They're hot one moment and they're cold the next. Well, let me tell you, life has its problems. Life has gigantic problems. But you can overcome every one of them because you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Now, David was faithful in all his labors. And if you're not going to be faithful, let me tell you something. I mean, in all your labor, faithful in everything you do, you will not be a giant killer. Let's look at 1 Samuel 16 and 11. Look at this little boy. And Samuel said unto Jesse. Now, the prophet is down at Jesse's house, and he's got all these brothers, and he brings them all in, and they go before the prophet, and he looks at them, and he says, God didn't tell me this is not any of these are the ones that are the champion. They're not the ones that's going to be the king. Now, look at verse 16 and 11. Samuel said unto Jesse, hear all thy children. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. Oh, yeah, I got another one. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes hither. In other words, the prophet said, go get that boy, because he's the one. He must be the one. None of these are the one. See, we look on the countenance of people. We look at their abilities. We look at their talents and abilities. But God looks for faithfulness. That's what God looks for. Hallelujah. See, David was out watching the sheep. All the rest of the family, they were meeting with the great prophet. The prophet was God's spiritual leader for the whole nation. They wanted to get connected with somebody who was somebody so they could get a ride into something in their future. That's the way people are. I'll tell you what. God promotes people. Let God promote you. And if God promotes you, nobody can take it from you. I promise you that. But David was out there watching the sheep. The others were entertaining the big people. David was out there with the sheep. He was singing the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He was out there worshiping God. He was writing all types of psalms, the sweet psalmists of Israel, loving God and worshiping God and faithful in what his daddy had given him to do. And the others, they were in there entertaining the big wigs. But David was faithful in his labors. And if you're going to kill giants, you will have to have faithfulness in your bones. Amen. There are a lot of people that they God just, you know, he can't use them because they just too many people that turn back, too many people who quit, too many people who will not go all the way and they become failures. Let me tell you something. If you leave from where you are, you will never go back to that place and start where you were. Don't ever let the devil talk you into leaving. You let God order your steps and foot and your stops. Because if you make that decision and you want to go back, you will go back at a lesser position. I've watched it over the years. That's just the way it works. Amen. But there are a lot of people that turn back. But if you're going to be successful, if you're going to kill giants, the number one step is, first of all, you must be faithful. So David was a faithful man. His father knew he was out there and that he was faithful. Does the father know that about you? He had nobody watching over him. He had nobody out there helping him. He was doing this thing on his own. He was doing what his father told him to do simply because he had this characteristic about him Great character. He was faithful. Step number two, David was responsive to God, and David was responsive to spiritual growth. Look at that point number two. David was responsive to God and to spiritual growth. When I was 37 years of age, I got saved. And I've been responsive to spiritual growth from that day to this day. And I intend to keep on growing. Amen. I intend to become stronger and stronger in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, God rewards faithfulness. God does not reward great talents. Let me say that again. God does not reward great talents and great abilities. They will help you, but God, he looks on the heart, and God rewards faithfulness. So start where you are. Use what you have. Make something of it and never be satisfied. And God will reward you. He'll reward you openly and others will see it. Amen. So look at 1 Samuel 16:12. And he, Jesse, he sent and he brought him in. He brought David in. Now he was ruddy in color with all of a beautiful countenance, goodly to look at. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him. For this is he. Oh, they looked at Eliab, and the prophet said, oh, surely this must be him, because look how tall and how muscular and how big he is. This man must be the one that's to be the next king. And God spoke to that prophet and said, I don't look on the outwardness. I look on the inwardness of people. So there's some great lessons to be found here. Look at verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brethren. In other words, they all had to watch it. All of them didn't think much of David. Said, oh, he's nothing. He's a nobody. He's out there taking care of the sheep. But God saw he was a somebody. Hallelujah. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. Look at this. From that day forward, not just for that one occasion, but from that day forward, the Spirit of God came upon that man. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramoth. And so David, the youngest and the least of Jesse's seven sons, he said, I'm ready to do what the Lord wants me to do. Now, he was responsive to God. He was responsive to spiritual need. Now, he could have rebelled. He could have said, oh, I'm the youngest of all my brothers, and they're so much more important than I am. Let them do it. They're stronger than I am. Anoint them. No, my friends, David was responsive to God, and David was responsive to spiritual growth. So your first step, look at your handout, is faithfulness. Your second step is to be responsive to God and to spiritual growth. So whatever God wants you to do, do it with all your heart. Well, I'm not qualified like everybody. Be faithful. Be responsive to God, and God will promote you. Promotion coming neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. God is the judge. He puts down one, he sets up another. Why didn't it say anything about the north? Promotion come neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. God is the judge. He puts down one, he sets up another. God sits in the sides of the north. And when the devil rose up in rebellion, he said, I'll be like God. I'll sit in the sides of the north. God promotes. And when God promotes you, let me tell you something. Nobody else can knock you out of that place because God has set you. Do you think they can get Donald Trump out of there as long as God wants him in there? Absolutely not. God set him against all odds. We had people in this place praying, and we had people that God spoke to. And some of you know he's God's man. Yet, you know, they tried to stop him, and they can't stop him. He won't stop until God is ready for him to stop. Can I get an amen out there? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So don't be stagnant. Don't stay little and don't stay ignorant. Let me say that again. Don't be stagnant. Do something. Don't stay little and don't stay ignorant. It doesn't matter if you start ignorant. Just don't stay ignorant. Get around some smart people. Get around some people that know something. Get around some people and ride that coattail. Hallelujah. Get in a church where the word of God is preached with the anointing, and let the Spirit drive some principles down into your heart. When I asked the God saved, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, where do I begin? The Lord spoke into my spirit and he said, begin where you are, because you cannot begin where someone else is. That's a pretty simple lesson, isn't it? God told me, he said, start where you are. You can't start where others are. Begin where you are and grow. Grow in God. Learn. Anybody can learn. Anybody can grow. So don't stay the same size. Learn. Grow in God. I'll never forget when Teresa was dating this other fella. And I carried her on Valentine's Day, a plaque. It's in my office now. But grow, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. He gave her 12 roses and a box of candy. I told her, I said, oh, those roses going to fade. The candy will make you fat. I said, when I come, I said, I bring the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley, and it'll never fade. And we still together, God gave me the prize. Go on, praise the Lord. Grow. Grow in grace and knowledge. Don't stay stagnant. Learn. See, there are giants that you need to kill. David didn't just go out there and kill that giant. First of all, he had to be faithful. Secondly, he had to be responsive to God. David had to grow in the little things before David could do the big things. I'll never forget. I started trimming the hedges, cleaning the church and the bathrooms. I said, God, what do you want me to do? I'll do it. You know what? I still do some of those things. I'll trim those hedges when I have to. I was going to come Saturday, and Brother Billy Lewis and Brother Philip Pearson, they trimmed the hedges back and put out the pine straw. And I had planned to do it, though. But see, I'm not above that. I'm a worker. Work. Grow. Don't be stagnant. If you see a job, praise God. Say, Pastor, can I help with that? Can I do it? Can I get the reward of doing it? See, I know I'm laying up treasures in heaven. Let me go on. Hallelujah. That's steps to kill your giants. David had to grow in the small things before he could do the big thing. Most people want to do the big things first, but it just doesn't work that way. You have to take steps. Take the first step. You got to take the first step before you can get to the seventh step. Amen? You have to begin where you are and take the steps that will elevate you to the top of whatever you're doing. Amen. Start where you are. Use what you have. Make something of it. Never be satisfied. Hallelujah. I had to start at the bottom. Guess what? Look at the story of David. David had to start at the bottom. Most people want to get around the influential people. David's out being faithful. David's responsible to spiritual growth. Amen. So start where you are. David started with faithfulness. Then he grew in God. Step number three. Look at it on your hand out there. David was a comfort to others. He was a comforter. We just studied the gifts of the Spirit, and one of them is prophecy, exhortation, comfort, and edification. That's what prophecy does. And David, this prophet of God, it wasn't a dispensation for what David was doing. It wasn't a dispensation to say the Lord is my shepherd either, but he was a prophet. He was a seer. He saw something coming. He saw a panoramic view of what God was doing. And David was faithful. Had a heart for God. Look at 1 Samuel 16:18. King Saul was vexed by an evil spirit. And look at this. One of the servants said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that he is cunning in playing. Now, that means that David knew how to play a musical instrument. Now, Pastor Rick is good on that piano, but I'm telling you, David could play his harp. Hallelujah. And he was a mighty valiant man. So somehow people knew that David was a man of courage. They had seen this characteristic in his life. He was still a kid, but he was known as a man of courage. And look at the next portion. And a man of war. In other words, he had done some great things. Something had happened that people had recognized. Well, he had killed a bear. He killed a lion. They said, he's a man of war. Don't mess with David. Hallelujah. And look at this, a prudent man in matters. In other words, he's smart. He wasn't stupid. He's prudent in matters. And look at this, and a comely person. He's handsome. And the Lord is with him. That's the key right there. All those others are good characteristics. But here's the most important thing. the Lord is with him. He was a mighty man, a prudent man, a good-looking man. But Jehovah God had his hand on David. Jehovah had a purpose for his life. And this man is taking the right steps into his future. And guess what? God has a purpose for your life. And God has a plan for your life and my life. And if we'll take the right steps, we can step into our future. We can step into the anointing. We can step into the power of God. We can step into his plan. And David was a blesser. He was a comforter to others. And guess what? You and I, we can be comforters to others. I love these stories in the Bible. They're object lessons. The Bible says they are illustrations. They're object lessons of how we should live our life every time we see one of these old stories in the Old Testament. So when you can help others, when you can lift up other people, when you meet a friend or a neighbor that is depressed and you can pick them up, when you meet a person that's confused and you can straighten them out because you go know the word of God and you're faithful and got other good qualities in your life, then you are a blesser. You're able to bless people. You're not ignorant. You're not stupid. You said, I'm learning. I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn. I'm going to grow. I'm going to grow. I'm going to grow. Amen. My God. Hallelujah. So in order to be great, in order to kill giants, you must know how to comfort other people. You got to bring comfort to people. So many people, they'll never kill a giant. They run people down. They got negative things to say all the time. And they're just stealing their very own victory. Because there's a deficiency in their life somewhere. And they look at someone who has succeeded and they cannot stand the success of the person that qualified themselves by taking the proper steps. This Bible is full of truth. And if you will follow it, praise God, God will elevate you. See, David was a comforter, yet he was so much younger than all the others. He was a man that was faithful. He was responsive, and he was able to bring comfort to others. He could find a man that was down and out, and he could minister to him through his religion, through his singing, like Brother Ray. He could find somebody down and out, like our musicians here, and he could minister to him through music. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes you love everybody. Makes you love everybody. Makes you love everybody. It's good enough for me. I want that old kind, you know, where it's got faithfulness and good qualities in it. Not this new stuff, this microwave stuff that you run people down and you don't have any depth to your spirit. And you never grown in grace and knowledge. You don't come to church when you ought to. You're just a flop. And you despise people that are succeeding. The church is full of people like that. They need to get into this book. They need to get into the word. They need to develop a prayer life, a Bible reading life, a love life, praise God, and stop lying around lazy and do something and do it punctually and do it on time. Go on, praise God. I'm preaching real good now. Hallelujah. Woo! David starts singing and Saul said, woo! I feel better already. Hallelujah. He was a comfort to others. And if you're going to be great and stay great, you have to be a blesser. Amen. If you're going to be great, you have to be a helper. I had a man call me from Tennessee the other night. He was my boss. And he said, Jerry, my wife heard him. I won't go there. Anyway, he said, Jerry, he said, I never did quite understand you. He said, you work for me, yet you helped me and made me succeed. You knew what you were doing, and when I came into that department, you helped me. And you made me succeed, and I know it. He said, and you know something else? You brought God's presence to me. He left there, and I went out to Tennessee and met him one night, sat in a restaurant, and led him to the Lord. Now, God will give you some fruit if you're faithful. His son now has colon cancer. And I said, he called me, will you pray for him? I called him and led him to the Lord on the phone, prayed for him. Amen. God will give you fruit if you're faithful. God will give you fruit. God will help you to become a comforter to other people. Hallelujah. So you have to get rid of all that negative junk, though. Get it out of your insides. I could have said, why, I'm smarter than he is. They should have promoted me. God already talked to me about that. He'd already told me I was going to be the man. But I didn't get it. But you know what? It didn't bother me one bit, other than the fact I prayed about it. And God says, I want you to help the first one they sent. I helped him. I had knowledge he didn't have. They come out of an accounting department. What could they know about Schedule 80 pipe and how to build things and how to, they counting beans. I'm out there doing the work. I'm out there managing projects. How could they know what I know? They couldn't. So here I am qualified to do their job. But you know what God was doing? He was building something in me. He was teaching me how to love people. He was teaching me how to be a blesser to others, just like David. See, if you read these stories, you'll see some characteristics there. And he said, Jerry, he said, you brought God to me. I'm helping in the business world. But I helped him. He got promoted, became the controller. I got his position. I told my wife, I said, they're going to promote me. They hadn't told me. God told me. I said, that position is mine. I told you years ago. I had to wait for it. But God was teaching me. And that's the way God is. So don't get upset. Don't get a negative feeling about other people and their success around you. God will promote you. And when he does, guess what? Nobody can take it from you. Hallelujah. Step number four, David was not afraid. That steps to killing your giant. David was not afraid. So be faithful, grow in God, comfort others, and get rid of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. See, fear can destroy you. So in order to be a giant killer, you've got to get rid of fear. Fear can destroy your home. Fear can destroy your relationships. Fear can destroy a marriage and the love between a husband and a wife if you let it. It can destroy your relationships at work. Fear is a destroyer. Listen to David in Psalms 27 when he said, the Lord is my strength and my salvation. Put Psalms 27, 1, 2, and 3 up there. The Lord is my strength and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Psalms 27 and 1. The Lord is my strength and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He said, when the enemy comes in, when they rise up against me, he said, this one thing I know, that my God will take care of me. He wasn't afraid to go out and fight this giant. He knew the Lord was with him. God had anointed him. The prophet had sent God had sent the prophet to anoint him, and he knew his destiny. Now, he almost loses it at Ziklag, but he's distraught. He recovers in his faith. It's a beautiful story when you look at David and the wonderful things he did in his life. But fear can destroy you. I had a person at work. They came to me years ago. They worked for me. They were afraid for their job. And I told them, I said, there's nothing for you to be afraid of. You are doing a great job. I've been watching you. I've been watching your performance. And I am satisfied with what you're doing. Don't worry about what that other person did. Don't worry about what that other person said. Things change. I've been watching you. And you're in order for promotion. So don't worry about it. Well, that other person got promoted. Guess what? They got promoted up out of the way. And they took that negative spirit with them. This man got promoted into that position, got a $5,000 a year raise. And if he had stopped and started over and did, he was going to go look another job. If he had done that, you know where he would have started? At the bottom again. I watched that man retire just a few years ago. Another time someone came and he got so disgusted and so discouraged, he went down to HR and turned in his resignation. And they called me from corporate headquarters and said, Jerry, I know you're a preacher. I know you're a minister of God. Will you minister to this man? Will you go down there and tell him not to leave, that we have a position for him, that we're creating a position at corporate headquarters to get his boss out of that plant because he's not handling people right. Will you do that, Jerry? I said, I'd be glad to. I couldn't tell a story to him. I did tell the man, though. I asked the fellow who was his boss, I said, have you ever wondered why you've lost so many people? Have you ever wondered why you've lost all these people? And I have never lost one. I have never had anybody that left me like they have left you. And it's been an exodus view. He said, oh, they just don't want to work. I said, they're some good people. I said, you need to take a look at your management techniques and see what you're doing. They promoted him out, and this other guy stayed, and guess what? He retired. He's getting his bonus now. You're talking about ministry. That's how you minister to people. You help people where they are. You're a comfort to them, and you encourage people. Hallelujah. See, David was not afraid. Look at 1 Samuel 17:34. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there's a lion and a bear. They came and took a lamb out of the flock. Now get this thing. They didn't just come and growl. I mean, they didn't just come. No, they took the lamb out of the flock and had it in its mouth. So look at the next verse, 1 Samuel 17:35. David said, and I went out after him. Woo! I want somebody like that that's got some spine, that'll stand up. I stand up to the devil. I'm not going back down to him. And when your giant comes, you'll have to stand up. You'll have to tell him who you are as a child of God. That's why I love that confession of faith. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. And I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Go and praise God. You can do it. You can kill your giants. Hey, hallelujah. Don't worry about anything. Look at this. That lion took a lamb and David went out after him. Are you willing to chase lions? You can't kill giants until you're willing to chase lions. And the devil, woo, thank you, Holy Ghost. The devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But you can't kill giants until you kill lions. That's good. I mean, that's real good. Some people, they try to kill giants, yet they never bothered with a lion. You can't kill a giant of lust and cast the devil out when you have a lion roaring in your own heart over and over and over again. And you've never gotten rid of that thing. You've never gotten the victory. You can never set the captive free. When I got saved, I said, God, my life is all messed up. And I got problems, God. I mean, I got big problems. And I need help, and I need a lot of it. And God carried me back to combat. He said, do you remember that berm wall? You remember it was the weakest area in that whole compound and how y'all put machine gun nests out there and you put extra bunkers and you had 155 howitzers and you had tanks out there and Constantina wire, Claymore mine, and flares? I said, yeah, Lord, I remember. He said, that looked like your weakest area, but you fortified it and it was your strongest area. He said, if you will take my word and fortify those areas in your life where you're weak, I will give you the power to cast those devils out that you're now having to deal with. Grow. Be faithful. Put on the whole armor. Hallelujah. This is not about religion. This is about a relationship with God. This is about killing giants. This is about living a life of victory. This is not a church, a mansy-pansy church. This is a church with the power and the anointing of God where you can get free and stay free. Go and praise God. You can get miracles here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When people come against God's anointed servant, guess what? They will find themselves fighting with God. When I read this verse right here, I thought about the Democrats and what they've tried to do in this nation. I did. Because they have lied and lied and lied and they want their agenda and anybody else is wrong. No, I've got a brain and I know that what they want to do is wrong. And I know I fought a war and I know they have no right to take my weapons. They have no right to take my freedom of speech. They have no right to tell me I've got to take the things I've worked for all my life and give them to somebody else. I have a giving spirit, but I'll decide what I give and not them. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Samuel 17:37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion. He's talking to this giant. And out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine, my Lord. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Well, the Lord was already with him. That's why he wasn't afraid. He knew who he was. If you can ever find out who you are in God, and don't try to be somebody else. Don't be what you ain't, be what you is. Cause if you is not what you am not what you is. If you're a little tadpole, don't try to be the frog. If you're a little tail, don't try to wag the dog. You can always pass the plate if you can't exhort and preach. If you're a little pebble, don't try to be the beach. Don't be what you ain't, be what you is. Cause if you is not what you am not what you is. Just be the best you that you can be, and God will elevate you. And our eyes not seen, ears not heard, it's not even entered the hearts of man, the things that God has prepared for those who'll take these steps. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! See, Saul, he didn't have any of the qualifications that we're talking about. He was the king, but he was backslidden. My God. He hadn't destroyed any lions. He hadn't destroyed any bears, but he told this young boy, this young lad, been out there watching the sheep, being faithful. He said, you go. So David wasn't afraid. How would you like that? You know, when I was in combat, I would not send my men. I was an E5 sergeant. I would not send my men out there to do anything that I would not do. And I put my life on the line sometimes. Some of those patrols, I didn't have to run. I just did it because I wanted them to see a quality in me that I'm not going to ask you to do something I won't do. That a great leader, he will lead by example. Don't ever forget that. He'll have some characteristics in his life, and you will find it out. I'm not saying I'm great. I'm just learning. I'm learning to obey God. Hallelujah. And take the right steps. So step number five. I love this. David challenged the challenger. Many times we need to stop problems before they start. I'll never forget, I was on my way back from Tijuana, Mexico. And there was a long line of Marines there. And this guy's come, I mean, he's a United States Marine, but he's big. I mean, he's big. He's a whole lot bigger than I am. And I know he's trained just like I am. And he comes and steps in front of me in the line. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm getting in front of you. I said, no, you're not getting in front of me. He said, I am going to get in front of you. What you going to do about it? I said, well, you're in front of me, but guess what? I got a real smart idea. I said, you in front of a whole lot of other people behind me, too. You might whip me, but you're going to know you've been in a fight. And I'm going to tell you something else. I don't believe you can whip me and all these people standing behind me here. I challenged the challenger. He was big. And about that time, they said that's the last bus back to San Diego. And I got to make a connection in San Diego to get down to Los Angeles. Had to go by bus. But I challenged the challenger. That other bus came up. We all just took off running in different directions, and it was enough room for everybody. And I've thought about that many times, you know. I'm glad that's just one fight. I did not have to fight because he was big. I mean, he was. But I challenged the challenger. Glory to God. So it's time for the church to go after the devil. That's what I'm saying, and challenge the challenger. Amen. We don't need to wait until the devil puts all that stuff back in this nation and takes prayer completely out and killing little babies and what the Democrat Party wants to do and a gay right agenda, transvestites and all kind of crazy stuff like that. We got a brain. We got some moral upbringing. And we don't need that in this nation. And I'm praying that party will get so disruptive that it'll take them years and years and years and years to ever recover. They don't belong up there. They have taken this nation and taken advantage of us, lining their own pockets. Put a limit, a time limit on them. Praise God. Let them serve like a servant ought to serve. Not go up and make millions of dollars, but go up and serve the people and go back home and go to work and carve out a living like the rest of us have to do. Don't you have to work? Don't you have to carve out your living? That's what they ought to have to do. And they shouldn't get special privilege when it comes to insurance. And they shouldn't get a salary for the rest of their life. No, cut them off. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. You know, we had a godly mayor in this town, and we stopped a lot of things. And Brother Stevens, that's the mayor, he's a godly man now. And I think he's going to keep this place clean here in Wilson, North Carolina. Step number five is challenge the challenger. Look at 1 Samuel 17:42. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy of a fair countenance. He said, who is this little kid coming against me? He said, I'm a professional. I am a giant. I stand 10 foot tall. He said, who is this little baby face? I tell you what, a baby face can fool you when Jesus is on the inside. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Samuel 17:43. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? He said, I curse you in the name of Dagon. Philistine cursed David by the name of his gods. He touched the arm of God again. I'll tell you what, you let him touch God's arm enough. And just like Sennacherib, he comes to Hezekiah and Hezekiah's all sick. And the prophet walks in and told Hezekiah, he said, don't you worry about Sennacherib and his army. Said, not an arrow shall come over the wall. Read your Bible. You'll find a lot of good stuff in there. And that man left the battlefield. Sennacherib did. He goes back to Dagon, the temple, goes in there, and his own boys kill him. Hezekiah was delivered. That man touched the honor of God. He told Hezekiah, said, your God has never seen stuff like I got. He said, I've destroyed all those other people and their gods. He touched the honor of God. Don't touch God's honor. Say something good. Hallelujah. If you're going to say anything. Amen. David challenged the challenger. He said, I'm going to take your head off. I'm going to destroy the whole army. Imagine a little 5-footer talking to a 10-footer like that. He said, not only that, I'm going to take care of the whole bunch of you. He said, I'm going to feed you to the buzzards of the air and to the fowl of the earth. I mean, listen to this man talk. He's not afraid. He knows his God. What a sermon. You know, we try to fight our battles carnally with our minds, our wills, and our emotion. But David said, the battle is the Lord's. This day shall he give you into my hand. Step number six, David killed his giant. What is your giant tonight? What is the thing that you're facing that is giving you the greatest problem? 1 Samuel 17:48. It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward him and the whole army. Imagine this little guy. He wasn't afraid. He ran toward the whole army, toward tens of thousands of armed men. I mean, this little fella with a rock and a rag and 5 smooth stones. Look at 1 Samuel. It says, 1 Samuel 17:51. He took that rock and rag and slew the giant. He said, therefore David ran and stood up to the Philistine and took his sword out. He dropped the giant, then he took his sword out of the giant's sheath and slew him and cut his head off. And when the Philistine saw that their champion was dead, they ran from the battlefield. So step number six was David killed his giant. He killed his giant. If you take the proper steps, you can kill your giant. Now, here's the greatest step of all. Step number seven. He kept a humble spirit. Look at 1 Samuel 18:14. David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. He kept a humble spirit. That may be the greatest step of all, to keep a humble spirit. See, God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. It's easy to to become arrogant when you become successful. After a great victory like David had had, it would have been easy for him to have had a wrong spirit, but he kept the right spirit. See, God wants us to walk circumspectly, wise. The Bible says that David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. He didn't say, "I'm David the giant killer. I'm David the giant killer." Now, the women would sing, "Saul has killed his 1,000, David has killed his 10,000. But, you know, that was just a song. At that time, he had just killed a giant. But he became a great warrior because he took these steps and he had these characteristics in his life. Hallelujah. Bible says David behaved himself wisely. Look at 1 Samuel 18:16. I wish people loved me like this. But all Israel, all of them. Now I know this church loves me and I love you and I'm so glad to be your pastor. But look at this. I mean, you know, there's got to be one naysayer in the crowd somewhere. Look at this, 1 Samuel 18:16. But all Israel and Judah, praise, loved David because he went out and came in before them. Everybody loves a champion. But they loved him because he went in and out among all the people and he loved them. David could have killed that giant and missed it all by becoming arrogant. He could become an outcast that nobody loved and nobody appreciated and nobody wanted anything to do with. But David loved God, and David loved God's people. Pastor Rick, if you will come. Father, I pray, Lord, that this will continue to be a loving, growing church, bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. Lord, there are steps in life. Help us to take the right steps. And Lord, those that have not accomplished what some of us have and have not grown, help us to be long-suffering and gentle and kind. Help us, Lord, to continue to win our victories. But help us, Lord, to be a comfort to others and to help them to win their victories. Because, Lord, these steps are so vital and we need to take proper steps to be all that Jesus has chosen for us to be. Let us stand. 7 steps to kill your giants.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy.
We love You, Lord. And Lord, we worship You. Because, Lord, if we're going to be giant killers, we cannot do it in our human strength. Our enemy goes about as a roaring lion.